It's Morning Edition on 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Paula Coleman. Over the last week or so, you may have heard us refer to something called the East Tennessee Listening Project. The East Tennessee Listening Project gives you a chance to make your voice heard with stories and interviews about issues that you are concerned about. An important piece of the Listening Project is something called Truck Beat, which you'll be hearing more about in the coming weeks. Here with me are Truck Beat producers Jess Mador and Matt Schaefer-Powell.
Hey, Paula.
Hi, Paula.
How would you describe Truck Beat?
Well, Truck Beat actually grew out of another crowdsourcing project called 10 Words. That's the project where we traveled all around East Tennessee and asked people to tell us in 10 words or less what keeps them up at night. Through 10 Words, we learned that a lot of people worry about health. Issues like mental illness, obesity. So we're going to spend the next couple months exploring some of those topics in depth.
Okay, the name. Why is it called Truck Beat?
Our project is called Truck Beat because we're taking an old video truck we bought from Channel 10 in Knoxville and turning it into a mobile recording studio. Once it's ready, we're going to be able to drive it all over the place, asking people their thoughts about health. The truck's not ready yet, but we got a head start by taking our microphones out and just going out onto the street and talking to people.
Can't find work, and stress keeps us on edge, living payday to payday.
I've got somebody telling me it's enough to, you know, make me have a mental breakdown.
Work, money, health issues, stuff like that.
Do I buy my medicine this month because it's not covered, or do I buy food?
I don't think you should be able to flash your Medicaid card and go up and get a prescription for opiates.
I would love to see doctors take the time to talk to people about how do you manage your pain without using the pain meds.
To say that there's not a victim when it comes to addiction is wrong. When you see moms and dads just had really good lives, good jobs, and addiction just threw it all away.
A few of the voices you just heard mentioned addiction and opiates. It's not a surprise that it's on people's minds because East Tennessee is currently dealing with an addiction problem that health officials call an epidemic. Here's Martha Buchanan of the Knox County Health Department.
Per capita, our doctors write and people take more controlled substances like nerve pills, Xanax, Ativan, pain pills, OxyContin, Lortabs, those kind of things. We see a lot of those on the streets. In addition to that, we've seen an increase in the number of what are called medication-assisted therapy clinics that dispense medications to help people get off of opiates.
Today's addiction epidemic is widely seen as a crisis, but it turns out it's not the first time addiction was a big problem in East Tennessee. In fact, rampant drug and alcohol abuse in the 19th century in Knoxville eventually got the attention of the temperance movement. It helped transform the city's reputation from a rough-and-tumble party town to one that helped lay the foundation for national prohibition. To learn more, I met up with a local expert on Knoxville's sordid past.
I'm Jack Neely. I'm executive director of the Knoxville History Project and writer for the Knoxville Mercury.
We're standing on a corner that played a big role in the late 19th and early 20th century drug and alcohol scenes. Jackson and Central, on the edge of Knoxville's downtown.
We're in the middle of what we call the Old City. 100 years ago, this was called the Bowery.
The Bowery, because at the turn of the last century, the Old City was the place in town for cheap and dangerous entertainment.
And there were lots of saloons, lots of pool halls, lots of brothels, lots of gambling dens of various sorts.
A lot of that action had to do with the railroad, Neely says. The depot was only about a block away, and at its height, it was one of the busiest in the South. As many as 50 passenger trains a day stopped in the Old City. All these travelers rubbed shoulders with the city's factory workers, railway laborers, and riverboat men.
And a lot of them were single young men. They'd be looking for what young men look for, drugs and women and booze.
And without much government oversight, you could buy nearly anything you wanted in the Old City. Neely says there were more saloons and pharmacies here than any other part of town.
A lot of these drugs were recreational drugs, and people would go in and take the drugs at the drugstore. You could get cocaine and morphine.
One of these drugstores occupied the historic building where the Jig and Reel is today. We head inside to see the popular restaurant bar and music club's interior. At lunchtime on a weekday, there's plenty of room along the bar. At a table in the back, Neely says this building was part of Knoxville's drug and alcohol boom. heavy concentration of recreational drugs fueled all kinds of social problems in East Tennessee. He says prostitutes were often held captive with morphine, overdoses were common, and violence was an everyday thing.
We had a really high murder rate in the 1890s. They weren't keeping it in the same way that we do now, but I've done some calculating just based on the murders we know of in a given year by the population. It was 8 to 12 times higher than it is today in Knoxville, the murder rate. And it was not unusual down here, especially, to have a murder every day or two. It was ordinary. And you'd walk out and see a dead body in the street and say, well, I wonder what happened to him.
Neely blames a lot of these murders on alcohol. He says it was typical for many people of the time to drink as much as several quarts of whiskey a week. The debauchery Knoxville's old city was notorious for attracted national attention. Many temperance advocates looking to ban booze nationwide saw what was going on in the region as proof sweeping changes were needed. By the early 1900s, they got their wish. A handful of states around the country passed laws effectively banning liquor within state lines, including Tennessee. In fact, the volunteer state went dry more than 10 years before prohibition became the law of the land.
Jess Mador is the producer of Truck Beat, a new program here on WUOT, part of the East Tennessee Listening Project. Thank you, Jess, and thanks to her co-producer, Matt Schaefer-Powell.
Thank you.
Thank you. To learn more about Truck Beat and the East Tennessee Listening Project, go to WUOT.org or look for us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Truck Beat on WUOT is brought to you by Finding America, a national initiative of the Association of Independents in Radio, with financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Wincote Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the WUOT Lauren P. Murphy Endowment Fund.